Our field work is no substitute for our domestic duties. Your outside outdoor application of mind and body in profession or in employment or in work is not a replacement for the hearth, the home, the heart, the power of the dinner table, the beloved, the family, Kinderküche Kirche, as Luther might have put it. You cannot claim reference to bank accounts, degrees and honorifics, achievements and merit badges, when faced with a required response to the dominical claim upon relational duties. It will not help me in the long run if I affirm a full bank account or a long list of peer-reviewed articles or a world championship of whatever sort, if they are meant to cover over what matters, counts, lasts, and has meaning. If they are meant to avoid grace, care, kindness, and, well, love. My dear one, your fieldwork is no substitute for your domestic duties. Says our Lord Jesus Christ, both to the ancient and struggling church and to you and me on World Communion Sunday, who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat and drink, and later you may eat and drink? Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. The dinner table, in all its conversations and claims, makes no allowance for a borrowing from the day's own trouble. A prayer is said, the dishes are passed, a conversation, glorious, golden, rhythmic, improvisational, personal, intimate, perilous, demanding, real, and so utterly human. A conversation emerges, something is said, something is heard. The table has its own realm and kingdom, its own royalty and citizenry, its own claim and call. Call it the power of the dinner table. 3 years on into the twilight, perhaps, of COVID, we have missed a step or two, lost or forgotten our dinner table habits. We have grown cold to the clink and charm of fork and glass. We have become rusty, out of shape, flabby both in the form of host and of guest. So interesting in older English, the two, host-guest, are almost the same word. We have been rightly busy with our field work, plowing and shepherding, works and day jobs and Zoom screens and all. So we have not been prepared to be prepared, to be ready to prepare supper, put on our apron, serve the service of eating and drinking. After all, we still try to assert, in the teeth of the hurricane gale, an image we have in mind as in prayer, as we remember those in this hour now suffering in Florida. The hurricane gale of this deceptively minimal saying of the Lord, that, well, we had a good day at the screen, didn't we? We had a good day on Zoom, didn't we? We had a good day by the click-clickometer of the internet, didn't we? We had a good day in our day job, didn't we? Didn't we? Not so fast, Jesus says. Not so fast. Not so fast, Mr. Wesley says. Not so fast. Not so fast, our own true hard experience says. Not so fast. Not so fast, says life, presence, freedom, experience. Not so fast, says the gospel today, not so fast. That is, do what is commanded, says Jesus. Conversation is a means of grace, says John Wesley, as real and powerful as sacrament, as prayer, as scripture, as fasting. Conversation is a conveyance of grace. Our late COVID experience is a hunger and thirst for what satisfies hunger and slakes thirst, the real hunger. One does not live by bread alone. There is an orb of reality, a realm of being, a place unto itself around the common table after the day's own trouble, the power of the table that will not be supplanted, outsourced, erased, minimized, or disregarded. And here we are, at a table as big as all outdoors, and at a table that spans the globe, and at a table that serves a world communion, a world communion. And here we are. Morning has come, the board is spread. Thanks be to God who gives us bread. Thank God for bread. And the power of the table, the dining table, is just here. Conversation, a saving, intervening power, especially for us, we who are coming in from the field work of three COVID years without it. And here we are. Conversation is where imagination and memory dance. Conversation is where one feels and then says, I love you. Conversation is where the strict arts of listening are raised from the dead. Conversation on the street, at home, along the park bench, before church, after church, outside church. There is nothing more human, nor more healthy, nor more saving than a good conversation, which by nature begins in the unexpected and ends in the unforeseen and trails along in the mind for days to come. A conversation starts somehow. A conversation travels somewhere. A conversation ends sometime. After 3 years of screen, of Zoom, of FaceTime, of text, of email, of distance, of attention to quasi-spaces, electronic spaces, to which, by the way, nuance, humor, personality, humanity, and connection go to die, we have been returned to the land of conversation. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. There is a robust magic in conversation, whereby John Wesley named conversation, so a means of grace alongside prayer and scripture and sacraments and fasting. In conversation, there abides or lurks the lasting possibility of heart-to-heart communication, heart-by-heart communion. That potential seizes you, not the other way around. You are long ways into a talk with an old dear friend, and of a sudden you realize, you intuit, just how much that friendship means, a friendship planted and grown in conversation. You are gathered before dinner, and the children, coaxed, begin to sing the songs of memory, of history, of Zion, of nation, of upgrowing. The folk songs, the hymns, the partner songs, the spirituals, the campfire rounds, multiple rounds, give off an invisible glow, a kind of verbal hearth. You sit with two colleagues who are also combatants, and there is an opening and a joust, and of a sudden, unplanned, unexpected, unforeseen, one shatters the other with the truth spoken and heard. And the shattering is not, in the end, a mendable one. Some things, like some malignancies, you can never cure, but you can manage. They are manageable, but not curable. They can be managed, managed to ground, even though unseen, the malignancy remains. In conversation, in the magic of conversation, such hard and dark and difficult truth can surface. Be careful with the shattering in the moment and in the meantime and in the memory and in the future. Or you realize afterward that one loved one in one seemingly innocuous conversation was trying to say something, something like, I'm worried about this medical procedure, and I think I may not make it. But the clues and hues and do's and schmoos are too indirect, too subtle, and you miss the marrow and the meaning of the talk, only to recall it, only to get it, later, much later. Or you are in a meeting and all of a sudden the temperature shifts and sunlight and warmth become dark caves, stalactites and stalagmites around. And the conversation flickers, withers, and dies. Something is in there. It would be utterly invisible and inaudible by Zoom. But in conversation, in presence, with embodied silence, and incarnate body language, you see and hear. She is really hurting. He is really angry. I am really in over my head. They want something they can never really have. There is a saving power worldwide, a saving grace in conversation. It costs nothing to listen except time and risk, and it costs nothing to speak except time and risk. Could you say that another way? What I hear you to have said is, do you really mean that, or do you mean half or double that? Sounds to me like you're wandering around Robin Hood's barn, and that makes me wonder why you're wandering around Robin Hood's barn. When you say that, what do you have in mind? Why do I have the feeling that you have real feeling about this? Let's talk about this again someday. There is a healing power, a healing grace in conversation. Most people can, in time, solve their own problems if they just have someone to talk to about them who will really listen to them. Pastoral ministry cut to the chase is the pursuit of an excellent 20-minute sermon a week, which is a 20-hour task, alongside 25 genuine conversations a week. The rest, all other ground, is sinking sand. Most current schools of theology have still faculty left who know pastoral conversation in person. They are not ordained or may not have ministerial experience to speak of. They have not invested the time in listening to become adept at listening because their work and future depend on speaking and writing. But through it all, they remember the grace of conversation, the saving, intervening grace of conversation. Likewise, most denominations and churches have some leadership left, circles of ministerial wisdom shared in conversation about conversation. Seward Hiltner, Homer Jernigan, Henry Nouwen, Anne Belford Ulanoff. They are not with us any longer, and not with us to remind us that the most important things in ministry are the one-on-one things. Pastoral ministry is visiting and preaching. Pastoral ministry is conversation and speaking. That is the minister. By that we mean the baptized Christian, for ministry is born in every baptism and is emphatically not confined to ordination. The minister is part bullfighter, part heavyweight boxer, part private detective, part spy. At stake for all is lasting health, personal salvation, individual growth, spiritual integrity, and the chance, the fleeting chance, to experience being alive before we die. The cape ripples and the saber rattles. The prize fighter dodges, weaves, ducks, swings, retreats, advances. The PI looks through the back window, checks the mail in the mailbox, notices the water still dripping from the faucet, puts two and two together. The one disguised behind enemy lines smiles, demurs, nods, remembers, and then we'll try to bring home a truth, the truth in hand, without getting caught. But these arts are practiced, sharpened, conveyed by one to another, soul to soul, in conversation. Every hour spent on a machine is an hour spent apart from conversation, so apart from the full, real life itself. Your field work is no substitute for your domestic duties, so walk with a friend, sit for intercessory prayer, call somebody on the phone, set a lunch date, offer a coffee, receive with happiness the unannounced visitor to your office, steer the conversation when you can away from doing and out into the broad meadow of being. Keep a journal, write a sermon, craft a poem, design an experiment, take on some painting, some gardening, some creative craft, a piano lesson, beginning French or beginning Swahili. My grandmother grew up on a dairy farm near Cooperstown. Some of you have heard me mention her before. She graduated from Smith College in 1914. She taught school and married later in life, raising three daughters. She spent her later life in a modest Syracuse home, surrounded by piles of books, mounds of newspapers, and letters written or to be written and received often long ago. She and her college roommate wrote each other a letter once a week from graduation until death. She feared no conversation and celebrated all conversation, no matter how middling or shallow or tiresome. Famously, she was thrilled, overjoyed to have the Jehovah's Witnesses come into her Methodist living room on their mission. She loved to talk with them about the intricacies of Leviticus. She always wanted them to stay longer than they could stand to stay. They left worn out, bedraggled, dog-tired, exhausted, and utterly defeated. People do not always know what they think and feel until they say it, until they say it to someone they know is listening, someone who really cares. This is not psychiatry, psychotherapy, formal counseling, or any of the other very wonderful and endlessly helpful and much needed forms of care. This is conversation. A conversation starts somehow. A conversation travels somewhere. A conversation ends sometime. After 3 years, it is World Communion Sunday 2022. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. For there is a robust magic around the globe in conversation, a means of grace, alongside prayer, scripture, sacrament, and fasting. Amen.